Okay, I think we're good to go. So our third presentation in this session is Vincent Pigavé. He's the Vincent is the CEO of Auslandia, and he's here to talk about how Auslandia both use and produce open source software. So Vincent, thank you.
You're welcome. Let me start that again. Okay, so I'm here to speak about not what we do, but more about how we do it. Who of you have ever think about running his own company? Yeah, so quite a few of you. So maybe it could be of interest to you. So I'm going to drop a bit the mask of how we run a company, how we work, and especially how we do that in combination to open source. So I get a bit old now because Auslandia is almost 10 years old this year, actually. So this talk is as a company manager, nothing really technical. So I'll give you some insights about how we run a company. But first, let us forget that open source is actually a business world. Just a number, it's estimated that the actual global turnover for open source by 2022 would be $32 billion. So it's not any longer some people in a garage playing with computers, we don't know what. If you've seen as well IBM buying Red Hat or Microsoft buying GitHub, we're really talking about big business now. And to do business, you have to run a company usually or be a freelance. There are actually a lot of different organization models. There is no one way of organizing a company, but multiple ways of doing that. And today I will present more or less how we run our company as an example of what exists in the open source world. That's our team, so it's composed of 15 people. You know maybe Eric, you've seen Julian as well, and a few others. And this team works hard on developing open source GIS software, thanks to them. And that's our address in Paris. It's a very beautiful place. Unfortunately, we have no office there. And we actually have no office almost at all. We work remote, full remote. We have a small office in Lyon, but only three people in there doing administrative stuff. And everybody is working remote otherwise. And so this remote working culture is really, really important for us. Why is that? Because you don't want to leave this. This is Paris in the morning. It's usually a bad start for a day. What you would better do is gain time, better no transportation, less energy, better environment, durability and all. So working at home, it's much better. You got a smooth start with a good coffee, and then you can sit on your computer relaxed and then begin to work and have some more quality and good mood. So that's what we do. And especially we do remote because we do open source. And what we want, Auslandia, the OS is Auslandia, in Auslandia is open source. So it's open source is what we do. And we want to do to run our company just as we run an open source community, more or less, or keeping the same principle. Open source is not only software, it's a philosophy, it's a business model, it's organizational model, it's a way of producing software, or it's many different models. So what we try to do is being coherent between what we do open source and how we do it. And that's what I'm going to explain here with the following principle. Principles of our organization are first distributed. We work remote, we are distributed all over France. We have people in Brittany, in Paris, in Toulouse, in Lyon, and we work for clients all over the world. So remote and distributed. Of course, we worked in a collaborative fashion. The organization model is auto-emerging, and it's a collaborative process for everything we do. So working together, but collaboratively, that's what open source software does as well. Horizontal, we are the opposite of a hierarchy. hierarchical model, like the you know, the pyramid and the bazaar. We are more like the bazaar, and we have very few hierarchy. We have a very strong autonomy, responsibility of our salaries, of our employees, and decision making is done at every single level according to the importance of the decision. So that's very important. Most important, maybe, is transparency. Transparency to everything in the company. At Islandia, everyone can access all the information, be it, I don't know, document for turnovers, for accounting, everything except for privacy reason, individual privacy reason. But otherwise, you want to access a document, you can access this document. You don't have to ask first. Asynchronous is the way we work as well, just as in open source. Since you have people all over the world, well, you don't work at the same time in the day. So everyone has his own rhythm, his own freedom of working a bit more in the morning, but more in the afternoon. Go do some shopping in the afternoon, whatever. We don't care. We work asynchronous. That's another aspect of open source we adopt in our company as well. As a consequence, everything has to be written, because if you don't work at the same time, you have to exchange the information in some way. So, and this way is write it somewhere so that you can capitalize on what's done, you can share easily, and you have an history of what's happening in the company as well. And that's also something we do in open source as well, because we work on internet. Of course, we need tools for that. We have a lot of different tools to for project management, for code management, for software production, of course, but for internal use and internal management as well. So our main platform is GitLab for code writing, to get bugs, pull requests, whatever, but also for internal use. I mean, our commercial pipeline is modeled on GitLab, our human resources processes are modeled in GitLab, and we do almost everything in GitLab. That's our commercial board. Of course, it's been a bit hidden, because you won't have to know all the clients we have, but it's exactly what we do all the time, having new clients and sending them a proposal. That's the way we deal with events we're gonna participate, send talk proposals, and everyone in the company can see what's happening, what's gonna be next time. So this is our issue for this Phosphogy Bucharest. You have a lot of comments below saying, hey, I want to go, I want to speak about that, that's a good idea, whatever. So GitLab is our main tool for everything we do inside the company. But that's not the only tool, because we also use video conferencing a lot. Written option is not always the best thing to do, so we need as well to communicate directly. But each time we communicate, we try to have a summary, a written summary of what's been said, decision being done, and also that goes back to our wiki. For video conferencing, we use Zoom US. That's actually the only proprietary application we use for internal use, just because it works. And you probably know that video conferencing usually don't work, it doesn't work very well. That's a very good option. We have, of course, more tools. We use email, very few email, a lot for external communication, but not for internal communication, because GitLab and notification has taken the lead over email for internal communication. It's much better for history, for capitalization and all. We use the phone as well, and we use the chat on IRC, no Slack at Islandia. That's a big debate. But and we do some kind of fun stuff as well, like graphical facilitation, drawing to explain what we're doing, doing meeting, etc. That's our guidelines for communication. The way we communicate is one of the most important thing to organize a company, because we work remote, because of the written part. So we got a full wiki page saying how to communicate, what kind of language you have to use, what kind of tool you have to use, in what situation, when do you want to use email, when GitLab, whenever, etc., etc. It's actually, these guidelines come from the GitLab handbook. I'll talk about that later. And we adapted a lot to our situation. But it's one of the most important pieces of software. That's not enough. Of course, we have to meet at some point. So we have like 3 meetings a year for 3 days every time. It's a good opportunity to do some like transversal discussion, background discussion, and of course to get some fun and party a bit. All of this is some work which is done in continuously. I mean, we do feedback, we refactor the way we work all the time. When you take a decision then of a process, for example, when you set up a new process, you have to be careful of that process having some side effects, and then you have to fix these side effects, and eventually maybe you have to fix the process by itself. And it's not something you do once, organization, it's something you do continuously and you improve continuously. And that's very important to have feedback, to take time to refactor things, to think about how to improve again things. Also because your context evolves, so the number of people in the company evolves, the way people work evolves, so you have to constantly make your organization change. So I was saying open source has, it's important to have this career runs between what we do and how we do it. But something which is also very important is why. Why do we do that? Why do we work this way? Why do we do open source? And we are developers. We build software. We are in a society where digital is more and more important, has more and more power. So we have an impact on society as a developer, as a company manager, as a salary, as an employee of a company doing open source. We have an impact on our environment. We have an impact on the people in our environment. That's really important to keep in mind. And to do, to be fine with that, we have to have a meaning, we have to have a purpose, and that's very important as an individual, as a company, to have a purpose. We need this coherency between what we do, how we do it, and why we do it. And that's what we try to do in our company. For that reason, we need human to be at the heart of the company. We need to take human individuals into account, and so that every single one of our collaborators want to get up in the morning and be happy to do it, his work. Trust is of course the key. If you don't have trust, you just have to quit business. That's out of the question. Not to trust your people, not to trust the people you collaborate with. So trust is the key, but in fact it's not enough. Trust is not enough. What you need, this is a Maslow pyramid. Open source, being part of an open source community, is very good at giving people esteem, social belonging. That's why we are here. But sometimes it's very bad at giving very low-level needs, like safety or physiological needs, like just getting food and a house. So as a company, we have a responsibility in providing our collaborators with this fulfillment. And that implies working on a lot of different aspects for the company, working on psychosocial risk, the way we work, contracts, healthcare, incentives, shares, onboarding, the way we hire people, the salaries and career evolution, continuous training, working on the strategy on why we do things, how we do research and development, how what the processes are, what's the decision making in the company, how do we arrange the safety at home for remote worker, project management, communication. All these topics are really important, and we have to work on them, write them, and follow the rules we establish. Part of the community is also important. As I said, being part of the open source community helps fulfilling the higher level of the Maslow pyramid, and that's something we are very dedicated to be a good player as a company for the open source community, to be part of the community, to be active players in the community. And we have, for example, also we dedicate 10% of our collaborators' time for whatever open source software they want to help, be it code, meeting organization, you name it. But probably the most important part in all that is having fun. So if you don't have fun, then you do something else. And well, I would say you'd have to laugh a bit, even in professional environments. You have to make friends to your collaborators, the people you meet at Fosforty. And doing that, you will have an impact on individuals, but as a company as well, with all what I presented today, you will have also a good impact on society, and that's really something which is important. Well, I'm almost at the end of the talk, so a bit early, but all of this doesn't come from us just by ourselves. We didn't invent everything. We have resources on this topic between how you run a company, how you run an organization, and in an open source context. We were really inspired by GitLab. GitLab is a full remote organization. They have more than 100 people working remote, and they write everything down and they publish the way they work. You can check online the GitLab handbook. It's, I don't know how many pages, but a lot, providing insight about how they do communication, how they do hiring, how they do decision making, all the way they work as company. It's written and it's public, and it's a very good inspiration for the way we build Auslandia as well. The open organization Red Hat is also a very good model. It's been bought by IBM recently, but IBM said we're going to keep the culture of Red Hat because it's kind of unique. And one of the CEO of Red Hat, Jim Whitehurst, wrote this book, The Open Organization, trying to extract the concept and the ideas of what makes Red Hat unique in that sense. And Red Hat is a pretty big organization, so it's interesting to see that all what I've told before can be applied to a larger organization than just 15 people. Valve also has an onboarding book, which is pretty good. And this, all of this relates as well to Holacracy and what we called Entreprise Libre. I don't know the translation in English. And this book from Frédéric Laloux is also an inspiration. And we didn't do all this work on our own. We are we have consultants who are very good at providing new ideas of organization and all. So we have a good friend now helping us. And also we get inspiration from other companies who are more or less like us, and with which we can share good tips on what's the best way to organize a company. So that's it for some insights of how we do our day-to-day work, what the principle of running an open source company is. And the main point is by having a coherency between what we do, I mean open source, and the way we work internally, we are more efficient, we are more coherent, and we are more happy at the end. Thank you.
Yeah, Vincent, thank you very much. That's, I mean, as a boss of a small and growing company, I'm completely inspired. So thank you so much. That was great. And does anyone else have some questions for Vincent? We've got 5 minutes. Yes, at the back.
Thank you. You have some employees in France. How would you go for employees across the borders, particularly outside of EU? It has certain impacts on all the taxes and other type of things. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I don't know. I know that GitLab does. So GitLab has people all around the world. So this model, you're able to make it work internationally and worldwide. You can do a lot of different things. Like I know that in GitLab, anyone can just say, oh, I'm going to visit this other employee on the other side of the world for a few days, 1 week, and work with him at his place or in a co-work place. And they can do that whenever they want. So the company pays for the flight so that they do some connection between people so that the culture, the company culture, stays homogeneous. So that's the kind of thing you could set up to help with a worldwide organization. And I know they also do a GitLab internal meeting every year somewhere in the world, like we do in France. But you can expand this kind of organization for a worldwide organization. Of course, you have some administrative complexity, some fiscal complexity, but that's thing people like lawyers and all, they know how to do that. So, other question?
Thank you. Truly inspiring. Can you share some thoughts about how successful you are, I mean, the company business-wise? You know, if how it's, what are, you know, turnover, or how it's, because organization is okay, is really inspiring, but what is, what about the business side? If it brings business or not?
Yeah, if there was no business, it wouldn't be any organization. So that's already a start. Well, I can give you figures publicly, of course. One thing which is really important to note is that we are a service provider company for now, which can be very different in terms of organization from a product company, for example. So, but I don't know exactly what question about business you want to know, but I can tell you a bit about my history. I started as in a small company as a normal employee with a PostGIS expertise, and then I left and I started a company on PostGIS expertise. So open source also allowed me to run a company, to start a company, and from that on, if you choose your right level, niche of expertise, then it's pretty easy to get business. I mean, we don't have an army of commercial people. Business usually come to us instead of the opposite. So,
yes. Thanks for a great presentation. You've been going 10 years. You've got a lot of knowledge in that business. Do you have a tool that you use for knowledge management?
My head and like a wiki, and all the knowledge we have for internal and external is GitLab. And GitLab, we have issues and we have a wiki and we have a file repository which is managed with Git as well. So, but that's the only thing. You had a question too.
In terms of competition, would you say you rather compete against like large corporations, or does it help that you're like a smaller company, that you're agile?
That's a good question. Actually, it depends. Sometimes it's a very good advantage to be a small company and to be able to have a quick answer, to be agile, to be able to start a project the next day, to get it done within 5 days, and then the client is very happy. So sometimes that's a good point of being small and very agile and versatile. Sometimes it's bad because you have big businesses, you have big clients, they want insurance, they want to see your turnover, they want to have visibility on what you will be in the next 2 to 10 years. They want to be sure that if they choose you as a provider, you will still be there for them in the next years. And being small is more complicated for that. So it depends. I had a question over there first.
I had probably a question to that one, which was just how many people you are in the company, and that's the first question. And the second, do you pay for the GitLab, or do you have a which plan, or do you have open source installation in-house?
So we are 15, and the GitLab question is actually a good one, because if you've seen the presentation before, GitLab has a freemium model. So you got a community version, which is the one we use. We self-host GitLab. And since we do support for our clients as well, we actually have quite a large number of users on our GitLab platform. We have 15 people inside, but hundreds outside. So the expenses for GitLab online would be quite, expensive. What we wanted to do actually is to pay GitLab for some features we needed, and especially we asked for them for us to pay for some features to go from the limited, so the proprietary edition to the community edition, and they didn't want to. So at first they said, oh, maybe, but no. So we stick with the community edition, and but we are also develop things on top of the GitLab API, like indicators, KPI, or things like that. We dig into the database and get information or data out and do some charts and all. No, it's very internal, very specific to our use cases. So it's no use outside of Auslan, I think.
GitLab has also all remote, like it's great. There's a great article about it on GitLab, how GitLab is working.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I've got one question. Two questions. In terms of your, you said you have your meetings that you all get together. Do you also have kind of formal meetings, formal virtual meetings that you set up, or is it just ad hoc? So do you have like everyone like an all hands every month? You do a Zoom meeting for the whole team or not?
No, we don't have specific virtual meetings, but we do some global video conference when we have a specific topic to discuss, for example. And we also have this coffee break video call on IRC. Someone says, oh, coffee break, and he opens a video call for everyone wanting to grab a coffee together. So,
that's great. That's a fantastic. Thank you very much, Vincent. That's amazing.